Welcome to episode 15 of the Fredcast for the week of April 24th, 2006. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On this week's episode of the Fredcast, race results from the Tour of Georgia and Liège-Bastogne-Liège. We preview the upcoming Tour of Romandie, how President George W. Bush celebrated Earth Day, OLN versus who? And Discovery embarks on the race to replace. After the news, stories on avoiding roof rack disasters, iPod ride route software, more information on the Garmin Edge, a couple of upcoming rides, a few shoutouts, and this week's PodSafe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. Well, I'm finally back home, and hopefully the audio problems are gone. And because the podcast was a little late last week, there's not that much news, but let's get right down to it. First and foremost, this year's Ford Tour of Georgia is finally in the bag. And I'm excited to announce that this year's winner was none other than American Floyd Landis. Now, if that name is starting to sound a little bit familiar to you here on the Fredcast, that's because this is Floyd's third, count them, three wins this year in major stage races. As you'll remember, Floyd won the Tour of California and then Paris-Nice, and now he's capped off a hat trick by winning the Tour of Georgia. And this one was in grand style because Floyd had a little bit of bad luck on the last day's racing when he flatted with about 2.5 laps to go in the final circuit race. When he flatted, he was able to get a tire from one of his teammates on Phonak, Ignacio Gutierrez, who gave up his tire. And then Floyd was able to grab onto the wheel of another teammate and propelled himself to a victory. Now, the actual stage victory, the final stage victory, went to Juan José Haedo of Argentina. And of course, he's from the brand new Toyota United cycling team that we've talked about here before. Tom Danielson, the defending champion in the Tour of Georgia, actually came in second overall in the race. Overall standings in the race in first place, Floyd Landis, Phonak, followed again by Tom Danielson. Third place went to Yaroslav Popovich from the Discovery. Fourth, Gutierrez, Cataluna, Jose Enrique from Phonak. Fifth, Hannes Brakovic from Discovery. And in sixth place, Dave Zabriskie from CSC. Now, I've been lucky enough to get a number of photos and even a short video from a number of Fredcast listeners. We'll be posting those up on the website in the next couple of days, so watch for those at thefredcast.com. And if you'd like to see a video recap of the entire event, check out the OLN TV network this Sunday, April the 30th, from 4 to 6 p.m. Well, there's no doubt at this point that Floyd Landis is hot. He's coming off of three major wins in professional cycling, and there's a lot of people talking about that Floyd really could be a major contender for this year's Tour de France. Even Johan Bruneel from the Discovery team has been quoted as saying that he was really impressed with Floyd's form and his confidence, and that he really looks like a contender for this year's Tour. So you'd expect that Floyd really has two choices at this point. One, continue racing, continue working on that confidence, but also you have a little bit of danger there that the more you race, the more worn out you can get, or you could end up in a crash, or a lot of bad things can happen. So Floyd instead, actually a few months ago, announced that he was not even going to participate in the upcoming Giro d'Italia. Floyd's next race will be the Dauphiné Libéré, which is the traditional prelude for a lot of these racers as they get ready for the Tour de France. And the Dauphiné begins on the 4th of June and goes all the way through the 11th of June. So between now and then, Floyd's going to take some time off from racing. Guarantee he's not going to take time off from his bike. He's going to be out there training, working real hard, even doing a little bit of reconnaissance on the upcoming Tour stages. So good luck to Floyd as he heads off to do a little bit more Tour preparation, and we'll see him again June 4th at the Dauphiné Libéré. And while racing was going on in the United States last week, there was also racing going on in Europe. Last week's major race, Liège-Bastogne-Liège. Now, this is a 262-kilometer one-day spring classic, and it was the 114th running of this race. This year, the race was won by Alejandro Valverde, the same guy we talked about last week as having won Flèche Wallonne. Now, his second major win of the year, as well as in the last week, and Valverde is firmly atop the contenders list, just like Floyd, for this year's Tour de France. This was a very exciting race this year, and there was a large group of 10 riders coming all the way up to the last couple hundred meters when Valverde outsprinted them all, beating Paolo Bettini, the Olympic champion. So at the end of the spring classic season, we're finding that all of these races, these major races, were won by the younger riders, anywhere from 25 to 27 years old. And that's interesting because it's really showing that these younger riders are coming on strong and that they are definite contenders for the Pro Tour points as well as for winning the Grand Tours this year. So after 10 races in the UCI Pro Tour so far, in first place is Alejandro Valverde with 136 points. Second place, Tom Bonin from Belgium, 129 points. Third place, Alessandro Bayan with 105 points. Fourth, Frank Schleck from Team CSC with 100 points. In fifth place, Patrick Sinkowitz from T-Mobile with 90 points. And the top teams, number one is CSC with 152 points. Number two is Rabobank with 134. Third place is T-Mobile with 131 points. Fourth place with 126 points, Lamprey Fondital. And in fifth place is Quickstep with 121 points. Next up on the Pro Tour calendar is the Tour of Romandie, which begins tomorrow, Tuesday, April 25th, and goes through Sunday, April 30th. And this takes place in Switzerland. The race begins tomorrow with a 3.4-kilometer prologue time trial around Geneva city center, and it ends on Sunday with a 20.4-kilometer individual time trial in Lausanne. Now, in between those two stages, the race goes into the Swiss Alps, and there are at least 10 major climbs in this race. Of course, one of the favorites, guy we've just been talking about, Alejandro Valverde, but another favorite, or at least until we see what his form looks like, is the man we haven't seen much of this year, but we've heard a lot about, and that's T-Mobile's Jan Ulrich. And in a way, this is very much Jan's coming out party for the year, because as you know, he's been battling some knee problems, and lots of people, including me, have been very skeptical about whether or not Jan has what it takes to make it through this year's cycling season. So this is going to be a great chance for Jan to prove himself, and I'm looking forward to coming back next week and letting you know how Jan did in the race. And as I understand it, depending on how Jan feels during this race, that's going to finally help him decide whether or not he's going to actually participate in the Giro, or whether, like other riders, like Floyd, we won't see him again until the Dauphiné Libéré. So stay tuned. We'll let you know next week how it went in the Tour of Romandie. It should be a very interesting week of bicycle racing. And speaking of racers and racing and somebody that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks on the Fredcast, I wanted to give you a quick update on Saul Raisin and his condition. Saul's parents posted on his blog the following just this morning. It says, Saul's doctors did a quick evaluation with him yesterday. It went well. He's waking up but still needs a lot of sleep. He's aware of what's going on around him. He does use his left and right limbs, his left side a little less, but hopefully that should change with rehab. We will know more when he's fully awake and can be completely evaluated. Because of the coma, he has an infection in his left lung, and the doctors are on top of it, and that should go away soon. The doctors and nurses here are great. They're taking wonderful care of Saul. Saul wants out of the bed, and we are ready to bring him home. We should be headed home when the infection is clear to a rehab center in Atlanta. Thank you all for your thoughts and prayers. They are working. Now, perhaps for those of you who haven't been listening to the Fredcast for long, Saul Raisin is a racer from the Credit Agricole team, and he was injured back at the beginning of April on the very first stage of the Circuit de la Sarthe race when he crashed with about a mile and a quarter to go in the stage. And he was initially, it looked like he just had some broken bones, and then after a day or so, he slipped into a coma. But we're glad to see that he's out of the coma and that he's doing better and that it looks like he should be headed back to the United States real soon. And as I said, every week since he's been in the coma, our thoughts or prayers are with him, and we hope that he has a very speedy and complete recovery. Well, this weekend was the annual Earth Day celebration around the world, and it looked like riding your bike was definitely the thing to do. In Hungary, about 30,000 cyclists, including President László Sólyom, rode through the streets as a way of commemorating Earth Day and as a way of sort of taking back the streets from the cars in commemoration of Earth Day. Meanwhile, in Northern California, President Bush went on his own Earth Day bike ride, and he was up in the hills above Napa County, which is a gorgeous place to go mountain biking, and he went on what all of the press, including the Associated Press, is calling a lung-busting mountain bike ride, dodging ruts that sent several of his riding partners crashing into the mud. He was out there riding not only with the Secret Service and with a couple of Air Force officers, but he was also out there with Representative Dan Lundgren, who's a Republican congressman from California. So it really looks like riding your bike was the thing to do on Earth Day, and I hope that all of you across the country and across the world were able to have your own Earth Day commemorations with a great ride, whether on your mountain bike or out on the road. Well, as I mentioned earlier, and as I've mentioned several times on the Fredcast before, if you want to watch cycling here in the United States, pretty much the only way you're going to do it is either to go to a cycling race on your own or to tune in Sunday nights for the coverage on the OLN TV network. Well, coming up in September, you're not going to be able to tune into OLN at all because starting in September, just in time for the NHL season, which OLN has the rights to broadcast, OLN is changing their name. They're no longer going to be called the Outdoor Life Network. They're going to be called Versus, V-E-R-S-U-S. Now, OLN began soliciting suggestions for a new name about a year ago and said that Versus was chosen not only for its bold nature, but also because it universally evokes competition. And finally tonight, as we all know, the face of American cycling for the last few years has definitely been the one of Lance Armstrong, and Lance's team, Discovery Channel Pro Cycling Team, has embarked on a new campaign that they're calling the Race to Replace. And essentially, obviously, what they're trying to do is really generate a really good buzz for pro cycling in the United States, as well as to keep the focus on their own team, even though their main team star has left the stage. And what they're going to do is that now that the Tour de Georgia is the Discovery Channel Pro Cycling Team is embarking on a campaign that they're calling the Race to Replace. Now, what the Race to Replace is it's an entire media package where they're looking for what they're calling the next major professional to join their team. And what they're going to do is they're going to be having an actual race on August 12th, 2006 at the site of the Indy 500. Now, proceeds from the race are going to be donated to the Lance Armstrong Foundation, but while it's going to be open to cyclists of all levels and abilities, they're going to be actually looking for one winner. The winner of the race is going to have the honor of being able to suit up with the team and race as a member of the team in the U.S. Pro Cycling Championships in September in Greenville, South Carolina. Now, to generate the buzz and get people participating in this, they've actually put up a new website, www.racetoreplace.com, and they're going to be producing what they're calling webisodes, or actual videos on the internet that will sort of be little vignettes about the team or day in the life looks at what the team is doing on a day-to-day basis. And of course, they're also going to be putting up some podcasts and things like that, which we can all tune into. Now, you're going to see some very familiar faces in these episodes, not only guys like Jose Azevedo and Tom Danielson and Eki and Popovich, but you're also going to be seeing some of the stars of the actual Discovery Channel, people like Crocodile Hunter, Steve Irwin, or Jeff Corwin, or Dr. Drew. So I've put a link in the show notes to the website, racetoreplace.com, where you can check out what they're going to be doing. And be great if a couple of Fredcast listeners actually did participate in the race in August. And hopefully, if they do, we'll feature them here on the Fredcast. If any of you are actually thinking about doing it, please let me know. I could see maybe profiling a couple of you or doing some interviews and then getting some information and some audio from the actual event. And who knows? Fredcast listener might be the winner of this race. So stay tuned. Take a look at the Race to Replace website. This should be something interesting to watch as it unfolds over the next couple of months. And that's going to do it for the news for tonight. Okay, so next up is a story that was suggested to me by listener Kendall from Utah. And Kendall wrote me an email and he said, I just recently bought my first roof-mounted bike rack for my wife's van. And she's been scared each time we put the bikes up there to go somewhere that we'll forget that they're up there and, quote, drive into the garage when we get home. The last time we went somewhere, she had this idea of taking the garage door opener from the visor and sticking it in the glove box. That way, when we get home, we won't be able to just hit the button and drive into the garage. Now, Kendall, I think that's absolutely a great question. And actually, your wife also has a really great idea about the garage door opener. So let's just talk a second about what can happen and what's going on here. And I'll sort of tell you an experience that I had. Now, obviously, in my opinion, the best way to actually carry a bike is on a roof rack. And the reason for that is that a lot of the bikes today are using materials that really aren't well suited to going on a trunk mounted rack. I know I've got a carbon fiber bike and I can't put that on a trunk mounted bike rack because the straps that go around the tubes on the bike that hold it onto the rack really are going to be very bad for the carbon fiber and actually could cause some very serious damage that I may not see right away, but as I get down the road and put a little bit of stress on the frame, that minor damage could turn into a catastrophic problem. So I really don't like trunk-mounted racks. I really do prefer roof racks, and I think that they're the best way to carry your bike. So the problem is out of sight, out of mind. Come back from a ride, maybe you're a little bit tired. You pull into your driveway and you get into that routine that you get into every day. You push the garage door opener, you start heading in, you don't remember that the bikes are up there, and wham, you have a little bit of a problem. This has actually happened to me. When I first got into mountain biking, I was a young newlywed, and I think what happened was my wife and I went someplace and we were in two cars, and on the way back, I was driving the car that did not have the bikes on the roof, and my wife was driving the one that did. And we were living in an apartment building and we had underground parking, and I got home before she did, and I went into the apartment and I was doing something or other. And about 5 minutes later, she came walking in with a very sheepish look on her face, and it took her a while to finally get out that she had forgotten that the bikes were up there, and she drove into the garage and actually ripped the bike rack right off the roof of the car. Minimal damage to the car, and thankfully this was in the days when mountain bikes were fairly heavy and they were mostly made out of chromoly steel, and really there was very little damage to the bikes. But think about what could happen today for some of your full suspension bikes or a carbon fiber frame or something that's got aluminum, and you really could have a problem. So there's a number of different things that you can do that will help you remember not to drive into your garage if you've got the bikes on the roof, because you're going to forget, let's face it. So number one, something that Kendall recommended, which I think is a really good idea, which is take your garage door opener and put it someplace where it normally doesn't go. So for instance, Kendall recommended you take your garage door opener and put it in your glove compartment. Other people have recommended that you take your garage door opener and you put it in the saddlebag of your bike before you even put your bike up on the roof, before you leave the house. Then that way, you know, you've got to go to your bike to get the garage door opener out. Other people have recommended perhaps putting the garage door opener in the back of the car. If you've got an SUV, put it way in the back, or maybe if you've got a regular sedan, put it in the back seat. Now, a lot of us have cars where we don't actually even have a garage door opener anymore. Our cars have those little buttons up on the overhead of the car, and you program them for your garage door. So you can't take that thing out of your car. So people have recommended maybe when you get in your car, put a strip of tape over that so that that way you know when you reach up and you go to push that button, you feel that it's different and you think, aha, the bikes are still in the car. Now, another idea is there's companies out there that make little flags that you actually put on your garage door so that when the garage door lifts up, it asks you a question. It says, got bike? Or it's got some sort of a reminder to you that the bikes are up on the roof. And I put a link in the show notes to one of those. So do whatever you can to remind yourself that your bikes are up there, because it can happen to everybody and you don't want it to happen to you. Next up, I want to tell you about a piece of software. And this one, unfortunately, is just for the Mac folks out there. But it was brought to my attention by listener Johnny from New Zealand. And of course, the first thing Johnny wanted to tell me, he sort of wanted to admonish me about gloating about the fact that springtime is here in the Northern Hemisphere, because he says down where he is in New Zealand, it's starting to get cold and wet. So Johnny, I'm really sorry about gloating over the fact that spring is here and that it's getting nice and warm and the days are getting longer and the rides are getting... Oh, sorry, I did it again. Anyway, Johnny wanted to let us know about a piece of software called Trail Runner, and I put a link in the show notes to it because it's got sort of a weird URL. But Trail Runner is Macintosh-based software that you can use to plan routes for all sorts of sports, from biking to hiking to skating, skiing, running, anything you can think of. But what's really unique about it is that you can actually download those routes into your iPod. So we've talked a lot about having your iPod out there on your ride with you. And if you've got an iPod that displays graphics, that's great, because it'll actually display the map that you put into it and show you where each of the individual waypoints are. Or if you've got one that doesn't display graphics, it'll just put your routes in there in text form. So it'll tell you, go so many miles and turn right, go so many miles and turn left. So it's like an interactive route sheet that you might get if you were on an organized group ride. But in this case, you're actually planning your routes out yourself. It's a really neat little tool. It is still pretty much in beta, so if you use it at your own risk. It does not come with any maps in it, so you've got to pretty much find maps online and cut and paste them into the software. But actually doing that is really easy. The instructions are fairly clear. I did it. I was able to calibrate it so it knew the distances in the map. I put a little route in there, and it works pretty well. So check it out if you've got a Macintosh. Again, it's Trail Runner, and a link is in the show notes so that you can find it real easily. And let me know what you think of it. Now, again, I did mention that it's beta software, but I also should mention that when it comes out of beta, it will then be shareware software. And the author of the software is actually looking for donations. And if you make a donation, then when it does come out of beta, you'll actually get a serial number so that your software will be fully registered and totally legal. But for now, it is beta. You can download it freely. But if you do so, because it's beta, if you run into any bugs or any features that you think should be added, please do email the author, because that's the best way that the author is going to be able to improve the software, move it out of beta, and make it something that everyone can enjoy. Now, I've mentioned several times here on the Fredcast that I am a GPS geek. I love GPSs, and I gave you a full review of my Garmin Forerunner, which I've now set aside and actually should be up on eBay any second, in favor of the Garmin Edge, because the Edge is more of a cycling-specific GPS. And a few weeks ago, I told you that I got my Edge very, very soon after they were released, and then I had some problems with it. But I was able to exchange my Edge, and my new one is working fantastic. I'm very, very happy with it. And instead of giving you a full-fledged review on it, one of our listeners actually has volunteered to do that. So I'm waiting for that review to come in, and when it does, I will play it here on the Fredcast. But in the meantime, just a couple of comments on some of the things that I mentioned before. Number one, one of the original problems I had with the first Edge that I got was that the barometric altimeter wasn't working. And it turned out that as soon as I got it replaced, I have been really, really happy with the barometric altimeter. It is fantastic to be on a ride and to know exactly how much climbing I've done. It's one of those things that, it's one of those metrics that I look at all the time. And the fact that I've got something very accurate like the barometric altimeter in the Edge is something that I really like a lot. Another problem that I mentioned that I had was with the speed and cadence function. And again, it was just that original unit. Ever since I got the new one, I'm very happy with the way it works. Speed seems extremely accurate. Cadence, I can tell, is very accurate. And overall, I'm just very, very happy with the unit. But one thing that I mentioned in that original review was that I felt that the battery life was not as good as the battery life on the Garmin Forerunner. And over time, I think that's really borne itself out. It's not bad, but I know that I've got a double century coming up in the late summer, early fall, and I can just tell that the Edge will not last for the entire double century. So I've been trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Well, I found a blog entry at motionbase.com, and I've put a link in the show notes, to some ideas about making a booster pack for your Garmin Edge. And this would pretty much work for any USB-based device. And I put a link in the show notes, and it's something that I recommend that you check out. I'm going to buy one of these. You can either buy one, and apparently these are devices that are used for charging the Apple iPod Shuffle, or you could even build one if you're reasonably handy with perhaps a soldering iron and a voltmeter and things like that. So if you're comfortable building one and that's something you want to do, go ahead and check out that blog and go ahead and build one. And I think it'll work just fine for keeping your Edge charged. And I think it'll definitely make it through the double century. But if not, go ahead and buy one like I'm going to. And I think that you'll be very happy, and I expect to be as well. So stay tuned. I expect to have that review from our listener very, very shortly. But in the meantime, I did want to give you those notes as well as give you that tip on finding a way to extend the battery life of your Garmin Edge GPS / cycle computer. Okay, and as I do every week, just a couple of rides I want to tell you about that are upcoming. The first, and this is one that I'm doing, is May 13th, 2006, Cruising the Conejo. And this one takes place in the Newberry Park, Thousand Oaks area, and heads up all the way up the Malibu Hills to Mulholland, down through Camarillo, and back around near the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, and back to the start. Actually, on some of the same roads that the Tour of California used a few months ago. I put a link in the show notes to that one. It is a great ride. There's a lot of climbing. There's actually several different routes that you can take on this ride. I do the Century, of course, but there's also a 21-mile course, a 35-mile course, a 62-mile challenging metric century, and a 68-mile moderate metric century. And the full century is about 103 miles. And if I remember right from last year, it was right around about 6,000 feet of climbing. And one of the things I remember most from last year was every time you'd get to a rest stop or a sag stop, and you'd pull off and you'd go to look for some place to park your bike, you didn't need to because there were Boy Scouts everywhere and they held your bike for you while you went to the bathroom or you got some water or you got yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So it's a really great ride. I really enjoy it. And if you're in or around Southern California, it's something you might want to consider doing. Another ride that's coming up, and this one is July the 15th. It's the New England Classic. It takes place from July the 15th through the 21st. It's a 7-day ride through 4 states and about 550 miles. There's also a 2-day ride available, and I think that one's about 150 miles with a bus ride back to the start. And this one benefits the American Diabetes Association, and I've put a link in the show notes to that ride as well. And finally, our third featured ride of the week, is the Six Gap Century, and this one takes place September 24th, 2006. And I want to thank listener Jim and Savannah for giving us this tip. And this ride actually goes on some of the very same roads and routes that last week's Tour of Georgia goes on. And this one sounds tough, so if this is something you want to do, you better start training now. You have until September 24th, 2006 to train. I'm going to read what it says on the website, and I've got a link in the show notes to it, but it says, this ultra-challenging route takes you up and down six of the steepest climbs in the North Georgia mountains. Test your stamina with more than 10,700 feet of vertical climbing over the 100-mile course. Elevations for the six gaps in this ride range from 2,949 feet to 3,490 feet, and the toughest climb, Hog Pen Gap, tests even the toughest riders, averaging a 7% grade for 7 miles with sections as steep as 15%. Now, if you don't want to do that one, there is the three-gap ride the same day, and that's a 50-mile route. So check it out. I put a link in the show notes. Those all three are great, great rides, and I think you'd probably enjoy any one of them. But just make sure that you have trained, and if you're not quite sure how to do that, check back a few podcasts ago when I did a two-part episode on training for your first century. Okay, and finally tonight, a couple of shout-outs for you. I wanted to say hi to Nathan from Northern Washington. He sent me a nice email today, and Nathan works for a company called caninehardware.com, and if you're not familiar with caninehardware.com, I am. I have a yellow lab. Her name is Maddie, and she is a fiend when it comes to tennis balls, and Canine Hardware makes this great product called the Chuck It, and it has definitely saved our arms because this thing allows us to fling the tennis balls really, really far. Maddie goes out and runs for them, and she loves it. So I just wanted to thank Nathan. It's great to hear that somebody whose products I use also enjoys the Fredcast. That's great. Also wanted to give a big, big shout out to Mike from Georgia, Billy from Georgia, and Carlton from Nashville. They have sent us some great Tour of Georgia pictures. I'm going to be putting those up on the website very, very soon, so look for those. And I just want to say thank you to those guys for doing that. That's going to do it for tonight. Keep voting on Podcast Alley. The month is coming to a close, and we're still looking great. But if you haven't voted yet, please go on to the show notes, click on the link, and do so. That helps us spread the word. And while I'm talking about it, if you're out on the road and you meet somebody and they haven't heard of the Fredcast, let them know about it, and let them know where they can find it, and hopefully we'll be able to build even more people into our audience, and we appreciate you telling all of your friends about the Fredcast. If you'd like to contact us, there always are the Fredcast forums. It's great to see people using those. Please keep doing that. It's a wonderful way for you Fredcast listeners to form a community and for all of us to be able to talk together. It's great. Of course, you can go to the Frapper map. There's a link on the homepage to that, and if you haven't put your thumbnail in there, please do so. Send an email, either a text or an audio comment, to my email address, which is thefredcast@gmail.com. You can always send a voicemail, area code 206-203-FRED, and always keep checking the website at www.thefredcast.com. And speaking of that, thank you so much for all of the great emails complimenting the new site. I'm glad you like it. It made all the work and all those late nights pay off. Tonight's PodSafe Cycling Music comes to you, as it does always, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Tonight's music is a song called Through With You by the band Clear Blue 22. Links in the show notes to their PodShow site, as well as to the clearblue22.com website. Until next week, thanks for listening. Enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
road. We'll